Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again. It's time for The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM Talk. We got an exciting show today, and as usual, I'm joined in studio. He wasn't here last week, but he's back today, you know, with a vengeance. That is John Schnader, our trusty executive director.
He wasn't here the week before either.
Yeah. I missed you guys here.
Two weeks.
Two different reasons.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Happy to
be back.
Well,
you know what? We'll talk about this, but we've had an extremely turbulent 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, with things happening.
I'm glad we're catching you at a time that, that nothing really is happening that would affect you and what you do here.
Yes.
It's a time of peace and tranquility, is it not?
Yeah. I feel like my life, I'm in a revolving door.
You have no opinions about anything that's going on these days.
I just keep getting spun around, you know, dealing with media, candidates, campaigns, members of council, things happening here in Allegheny County. It just never stops. But we're also joined, folks. You just heard from Daryl Grandy. Dazzling Daryl, we call him. He's the producer of the show. He's the man that makes the magic happen and gets all of this that we talk about here across the airwaves to you. So, Daryl, thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thank you, Sam. And how are you holding up?
Not well. You know, I'll tell you what. I don't know if it's old age, if it's stress, it's, you know, all this excitement. But, hey, listen, knock on wood. We have a big fight in front of us. We have to save this country, have to save this Commonwealth, and save this county. And we'll be looking forward to November. Now, we also have joining us in studio today is a good friend of ours, Jeremy Schaefer. Jeremy's a proven leader in business in the community and government. Schaefer's record exhibits his ability to bridge divides and focus on the well-being of our community, showcasing a leadership style that is both effective and inclusive. Jeremy is running for the State House. His mission is to unite the community and help steer us toward a brighter future. I've known Jeremy for about 6 to 8 years. And I'll tell you what, I mean, a very bright guy with an incredible family. We look forward to learning more about that as we talk during the show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sam. And thanks for everyone being here. I guess I helped draw a crowd to the studio here, but it's an honor to be on. Look forward to our discussion today.
Well, we're going to have a great one. But hey, before we get into talking further about you and your race, we need to talk about the things that are happening, you know, from a national perspective. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, when we talk about what's critical for folks like yourself to win election, a lot of it revolves around turnout.
Yep.
And we have to talk about what's going to drive turnout here. And we've had some big changes, you know, here in the presidential race.
Yes.
And that was on Sunday, despite President Biden's campaign manager going on the Sunday shows and saying that he was in it to win it. He was definitely not going anywhere, the whole bit. Within a matter of hours, the president went on, or didn't go on television, he just released a letter, you know, on the social media site X, saying that he was stepping down and he was going to withdraw from the campaign and was not going to no longer run for president. And he endorsed his vice president candidate, Kamala Harris. And so that's what we've been seeing happen this week. On Wednesday night, President Biden went on the air for briefly about 11 minutes, you know, struggled in his battle with the teleprompter. He lost, didn't fully explain what it was that drove him from the race. And that, you know, that brings some things up, folks, because he said, or his press secretary, KGP, said that it wasn't health. So that indicates that it's all about politics, you know, and the fact that he was behind in the polls and that Nancy Pelosi and others were showing him polls, showing that he couldn't defeat Donald Trump and couldn't win. So this is a reset for Democrats, a reset for those defenders of democracy, you know, who run around telling you that, but at the same time have just taken and disenfranchised 14.3 million Democrat voters who voted for Joe Biden to be their candidate in the primary to allow bosses, Democrat Party bosses, to pick their candidate. So some big happenings here, Jeremy, don't you think?
Yeah, the hypocrisy is dripping here. The Democratic Party has often said that we need to protect democracy. And yet at the same time, they've basically disenfranchised every one of their voters in the primary election, basically based on what a bunch of elites, as Joe Biden himself, under all the pressure, he said the elites were trying to push him out. And basically the elites accomplished that. The donor class, the Nancy Pelosi's, decided that they knew better than the voters. And it should come as no surprise. I mean, we've seen that's how they govern. And mm-hmm. We're dealing with the results of that now with inflation that's out of control, borders that are open, and people are just pouring through. And so now it's just another proof case to what is going on.
Oh, it's absolutely crazy, right? And mm-hmm. and I think folks, it's only going to get even crazier, you know? And I don't want to put my tinfoil hat on for a minute, but maybe I will, okay? Look, folks, I think the Wall Street Journal came out and said that Democrats knew that they had a problem with Joe Biden back as far as October 2021, after he went to the Capitol Hill and spoke to the Democratic caucus about trying to sell one of his legislative agenda issues. And I think in this entire time, they've been trying to get him to not run for re-election, but him being president and deciding that this is something he wanted to do. You get accustomed to the accoutrements of and perks of the office. He was intent on running and didn't want to go anywhere. You have to believe that Democrats setting up the debate, presidential debate, for June 27th, the earliest they've ever had one in history, you know, was done intentionally so that, you know, his cognitive issues would become apparent to all, force him to step down and allow Democrats to make the change they wanted to make a change, you know, for the top of the ticket. Now, you know, when I talk about a tinfoil hat, I'm not certain that Kamala Harris is going to be the Democrat nominee, because, you know, her campaign for president back in 2020 was such a disaster that she was forced to withdraw before the primary. Didn't win one vote, you know, for president back in 2020. And videos are circulating, you know, across the airwaves today, demonstrating and showing her extreme positions on so many different topics. Folks, I wouldn't be surprised if Republicans defining who she is right now, and if she has some stumbles on the campaign trail before the Democratic convention, doesn't allow them to open it, the whole process up, and to pick somebody else. Because, Jeremy, I think, you know, we knew with Democrats stepping down, or with Biden stepping down, they had nowhere else to go, because if they tried to overlook or bypass Kamala Harris, one, they wouldn't have been able to transfer the $90 million in cash they had in the bank to anybody else. But then, two, they have a massive fight internally in their party with a core constituency, which is black women. Mm-hmm. So this allows them to A, move the money, B, address, you know, that constituency, so they're doing the right thing in their minds. Mm-hmm. But if she stumbles and polls start to show that she can't win, you know, do they then take and try to shift and try to come up with somebody else at this convention? So folks, that's my tinfoil hat take. But stay tuned, because, you know, I've been saying since last year that Joe Biden wasn't going to be the nominee, and you know, that came true. So I feel like Nostradamus. But anyway, now we're going to move along, and we're going to talk about Jeremy's race in his district. So Jeremy, why don't you tell the folks, listeners here from outside of the North Hills or outside the 17th Congressional District, a little bit about yourself and who you are and why you're running for the state House seat in the 28th Legislative District.
Yeah, so thank you, Sam. Yeah, you know, I am, I've been very blessed in my life. Started off, you know, pretty much with nothing, very young parents, and I've always had to work hard in order to get ahead. So I knew when I was in school, I'd be paying my own way through college if I wanted to go to college. And so worked hard, mowed yards, did lots of jobs and saved up money. Ended up getting an academic scholarship too. Went to Tulane University down in New Orleans, then ended up here in Pittsburgh for graduate school at a school I think most of us know called Carnegie Mellon. And ended up doing a master's and PhD in electrical and computer engineering there. I'm very oriented towards solving problems, and I was in at Carnegie Mellon, very entrepreneurial. A friend and I decided to try to start a company to help keep our bridges safe. And so we founded a company called InspecTech at the time, grew it to 30 people, and did work all over really the country and the world, and learned a lot, helped keep a lot of bridges safe. And during that time, I was very blessed, ended up marrying the woman I went to high school prom with, Stacy. And we've been blessed with five wonderful kids, started our family in the North Hills, actually in Ross Township, where ended up running for Ross Township Commissioner. Ended up serving as president of the Board of Commissioners for a term, and we did a lot of great things and worked together, Republicans and Democrats. I was elected president of the Ross Township Board of Commissioners by a bipartisan majority on a board that was six Democrats and three Republicans. So to me, actually, it really hasn't been about R versus D. You know, when I work in the transportation community, there's not Republican bridges and Democrat roads. It's all like, it's all about principles. Everyone wants, I have found, as a local elected official, You know, most people, they want a safe community. They want reliable, safe bridges and roads. They want good parks. They want good schools that their kids can go to. And so to me, it's all about how we can work together to make our community a better place. And part of the reason I'm doing this is because I look at my kids each and every day, and I am very concerned with the direction of our country and our state. And I can either sit back and complain about it, or I can try to step up and do something about it. And I've decided to try to step up and do something about it.
Well, we appreciate and applaud that. I mean, that's what it takes, is good people rolling up their sleeves and being willing to get involved. Mm. And I think there's a lack of that today. And Jeremy, to step out and get involved in politics, you know, it requires even more courage and backbone, because it is, you know, anyone that's involved in politics will tell you it's a dirty business.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, so many good people refrain from getting involved because they know that, you know, folks are going to say things about them. And if there's not anything negative for them to say, they'll just make the stuff up anyway.
Yep.
Right. And we see that across the airwaves today on, you know, television, radio, and social media. People will take something that's innocent and they will spin it and try to make it look like, you know, something else. So, you know, for someone like yourself, you know, a successful business man, you know, a father, a great family man, you know, somebody who's already served in your community, you know, to say, hey, listen, I'm willing to put myself out there because these issues are so important to me for the future of your children and the children of the 28th Legislative District. Yeah. That you're willing to do this says a lot about you as a person, and you know, we're blessed and happy to have you. So thank you very much
for
what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for those words, Sam. Yeah, it is. Running for office is not of the faint of heart, but I encourage everyone to do it. I mean, the country desperately needs people who will step up from anywhere from school board to local commissioner, supervisor, all the way up to step forward and to serve. And that's, we are a representative democracy, and that's only as good as the people who are stepping up and serving as candidates.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's great. And like I said, we're happy to have you here, and we look forward to you being elected here in November. Now, I say that, you know, with confidence because I know the district, mm-hmm. I know the voters, and I know who you are, okay? But folks, nothing is assured if you don't get out and vote, okay? And when I say get out and vote, you know, I want you to use all available legal means. If it were up to me, now don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying I love mail-in voting, okay? What I'm saying is, you know, that we need to make sure that every single Republican, independent, and moderate Democrat, you know, folks who would vote for Jeremy, for President Trump, for Dave McCormick, that you use every legal means available and get out to vote. And that early voting, if you don't want to vote by mail, go down to the election office, down in the county office building on Forbes Avenue, and go to the election office and request a ballot, fill it out, and submit it there. Or go and sign up and vote by mail. I mean, I can tell you, I'm registered to vote by mail. I don't have to wait until November 5th to make my choices. I know who I'm going to vote for.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to be able to make my selection and return them. But I say that, folks, because too many things get in the way from people being able to vote on election day. And I can't tell you what I go through the week before an election from people writing me emails, calling me, looking for help, because all of a sudden they have to go in the hospital, or somebody's in the hospital, their kid's going to be at school, they're going to have to go work, or they're going away on vacation, or there's just so many things that get in the way. On election day, you have weather can be a factor in November. You know, every inch of rain, you know, reduces turnout by 1%. Every inch of snow reduces turnout by 0.5%, right? Cars break down, kids get sick, things of that nature. Folks, let's avoid all of that. Let's get our vote in one way or another. And Jeremy, yeah, one of the side benefits of voting by mail is once you've submitted your vote, once you sent your ballot back in, campaigns stop texting you. Yeah. They stop calling you. They stop sending you pieces of mail. They stop knocking on your door.
Yep.
And they do that because they know you've already voted. So, folks, if you're looking for some peace and quiet in this election season, apply for your mail-in ballot and return it as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'll say a couple things on that. First, you know, as a state representative, I will be fighting very hard to have voter ID, which I think is critical for us. And I'm 110% in favor of helping ensure the integrity of our election. I think it's ironic. You're a county council member. My kids swim a lot. North Park Pool and a lot of the other county pools just instituted a policy that you need to have an adult over 21 there with kids. and they need to show ID. So in order to get into a county pool now with children, you need to have an ID because they were having disciplinary issues. But in order to vote, you don't have to. Now, all that said, I want to underline everything that Sam has just said. In 2020, I decided to try voting by mail. And had I not done that, I would not have been able to vote. Election day 2020, I had 105 degree fever, double pneumonia, and that was something I had never had planned. And had I not voted by mail, I would not have been able to vote for the first time in probably like 20 years in an election. Things happen. When I ran for office in 2022, I had people. I was standing outside the poll. Actually, I think it was might have been your precinct in North Fayette there.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
And, well, or one of your voting right. locations there in North Fayette. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people came up and said, I'm voting for you, but my husband is at home sick. He can't come up. How do I get a mail-in vote for him? And this is on election day. That you can't get that. Or, oh, my neighbor really wants to vote for you, but they had to go on a work trip. Is there any way to get them to be able to vote from Chicago? And it's like, no, there is not. And those things would have been avoided. If people who vote early, that is like a $5 to $10 donation to my campaign. Because as you said, Sam, I don't know how they vote, but I do know we get a list every day from the county on what what mail-in votes have been returned. Mm-hmm. And we will strike those people off of the list that we have to pay for postcards, for text messages, for phone calls, for sending people out to knock on doors. And we can focus on those people who still haven't voted. So, there are some people who just don't feel comfortable mail-in voting. I get it. Go vote in person on election day. But, you know, I would just say try it this year. If you're able to, you never know what can happen. If we have a room full of 100 people, there's probably 3 or 4 people that, even though they 100% intend to vote, there will be some situation, as you've outlined, that will come up and they're not able to vote. I had people who donated over $1,000 to my campaign who ended up not even being able to vote for me because they had situations arise that prevented them. And fully legitimate, unplanned situations that just happen in life. And so if you are able to vote by mail, please do. And that's something, though, that as a state representative, I will be working hard in the electoral system to make it to make it more secure so that we can have full confidence in it and not worry about any potential issues that occur there.
Right. And echoing what you said, I'm not trying to change how people vote. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I'm trying to do is make sure that everybody that we need to votes. And that's the difference, right?
Yeah.
And because we're talking about it, there's so many people, and it's because of unforeseen circumstances, you know, aren't able to make it to the polls. Those votes don't get cast and their candidates lose. And, you know, I can't tell you enough. I try to explain to folks, if we can't win, we can't govern. So all these things that you don't like, we can't change if we can't win the majority in both the House, the Senate, and the governor's mansion, you know, or in the House, the Senate, and the White House. So it's extremely important and that you get out, that you vote, and please, you know, talk to your friends, your family, coworkers, folks who you know believe what you believe, but, you know, maybe don't usually vote. I mean, I can't tell you. We have friends here. Scott Pressler has done a phenomenal job. I mean, he's the Pied Piper of registering Republican voters here in the United States, and he's moved to Pennsylvania and has just spent an inordinate amount of time registering voters in Pennsylvania. They just flipped Bucks County out east, and now there are more registered Republican voters there than Democrats. And they're working now. He's working up in, I think, Luzerne County. Okay? So Noah Formica. Noah is our South Park committee chair. Noah is also the contact for, he's the state director for Turning Point Action. He's doing a phenomenal job. He's all over the place. But they go to these rallies. They go to these gun shows. They go to these town fairs. And they're signing up 20, 30, 100 people that aren't registered to vote. Mm-hmm. So don't automatically assume that everybody you know is registered to vote. So don't be afraid to ask them, mm-hmm. you know, and then urge them to please sign up to vote. Request a ballot, you know, and vote Republican. So I think that's Jeremy and I, my PSA for today, public service announcement. You know, so, you know, I'll get off my soapbox here, and we're going to talk more about Jeremy and his race, what's important to him, what he wants to accomplish, you know, for the people of the 28th Legislative District, and how he intends to go about it. So, Jeremy, I'm going to shut up here and turn it over to you for a little bit.
Yeah, well, first let me say where the 20, not everyone knows where the 28th Legislative District is. So that is, broadly speaking, it's the northern tier of Allegheny County. So it includes all of Marshall, Bradford Woods, Pine, Richland, West Deer, and about two-thirds of Hampton Township. So some great communities, some amazing neighborhoods across the North Hills of Pittsburgh. And, you know, when I look at the state of Pennsylvania, I'm very concerned with the direction of Pennsylvania. Right now, we are one of five states that is losing population. And, you know, that is not a good thing. And why are we losing population? Well, we have very high taxes and regulations that's driving companies and people away from our great commonwealth. You know, we've got we've got high property taxes, which has constantly been in the news. We've got the second highest gas tax. I can't tell you how many people I talk with who, you know, drive over to Ohio to fill up their gas tanks. And obviously we need to invest in our infrastructure, and I'm in favor of that, but we need to be smart about how we invest in our infrastructure. And then, also have things like the highest per mile turnpike toll in the country and highest business tax. So these are all things we need to look. We need to open the door for business here in Pennsylvania, because when you look at Western Pennsylvania, you know, it is one of the best places in the world to live, to raise a family. We are blessed with so many incredible things, an amazing workforce, amazing people, great cultural institutions, higher education. Every year, we're coming up here soon where all the universities and colleges in our region will be bringing tens of thousands of kids from all over the world to come here to see how great an area that we have. And if all we have to do to grow is just have jobs for these people to be able to stay in Western Pennsylvania. And for our existing people, we have great natural resources. We sit on the Saudi Arabia of natural gas with, you know, Kamala Harris is on record as wanting to completely end the energy industry here. But when we look at why some companies are investing in areas like Ohio, you see just across the border in Ohio, they're getting multi-billion dollar investments from chip plants, from other manufacturers. And why is that? Well, they have a permitting regime where a company, if they want to invest billions of dollars, they have certainty as to how they go about getting the permits and starting things. Here in Pennsylvania, you have no idea whether it's going to be 1 month or 10 years as to if and when you ever might get a permit to be able to build something. So there, we need to work together as Republicans and Democrats to make our, to really get government out of the way and to make our region and our state more competitive and to make this an even better place to live. And I think, like, with my background in as a small business owner, as a community servant, as a township commissioner, you know, as someone who's coached Little League basketball and other sports and gotten to know this community, that I can go take our community's needs in Northern Allegheny County and bring some of that Western Pennsylvania common sense to the state legislature, work with Republicans and Democrats to try to make some incremental, at least common sense reforms to move Pennsylvania forward in a positive direction.
Well, we're looking forward to that. And we're going to talk more about that right after the break. We're going to have to take a break in a second here. But yeah, we'd be interested to hear what your approach is going to be, you know, in the legislature. And, you know, Democrats have had like a 1 or 2 seat majority this year, and they have governed. You know, they try to call it a humble majority, but they've been enacted like anything but. You know, so it's going to be interesting to hear from your perspective, you know, what you would do or how you would work with folks if the Republicans are in the majority, or if you end up going back and the Democrats still retain that majority. But I think we'll talk a little bit more about your service when you served as Ross Township Commissioner and how, even though you were on a board dominated by Democrats, they made you the chair, you know, of that that board. So, folks, we're going to take a break here to pay the bills. We'll be right back after the break on The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM. Folks, welcome back to The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM. Before the break, we were talking with State Representative candidate Jeremy Schaefer, running for State Representative in the 28th District. And Jeremy, going back to what you were talking about before, I was sharing that, you know, Democrats right now in the State House, you know, typically hold between a 1 or 2 seat majority. And, you know, they changed the rules earlier this in 2023. So that even now today, with two Democrats announcing their resignations, so they're actually in the minority, they're still claiming the majority because of the role changes to keep control of the legislature. So you have these things you want to do on behalf of the people of the 28th district. How would you work, you know, if you could share with us a little bit, what would be your place? How would you work with a Republican majority House and a Democrat majority House? Should that...
Yeah, you know, as an engineer, I think I come at things maybe a little bit different than the typical legislature. Oftentimes, they're lawyers, and there's a desire to argue for the sake of arguing in some cases. I actually like to work backwards from things. So, for example, I think that we all would agree, whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, you would all agree that we want the best roads and bridges for the least possible cost, that we want great schools that all of our kids can go to, that we want safe communities. And you can establish these. So let's first agree on the outcomes that we want. I think far too often we start with a specific policy change and we argue over the words of that policy, forgetting that we actually agree on the outcome that we want, on the big picture outcome that we want. And there are legitimate differences to how do we achieve that outcome. But let's first establish agreement on the outcome that we want. So when I was, you mentioned about Ross, you know, when I was a Ross Township commissioner, McKnight Road runs right through mm-hmm. Ross Township. And when I became a commissioner, we had a lot of concern. There used to be Northway Mall, one of the first and largest indoor malls in the country, was right there on McKnight Road. And if, for those of you who remember, it had all the vacancies were occurring. It was a shell of itself. It was an eyesore. And we were basically looking at a cancer that was going to metastasize and spread along McKnight Road. And so we, Republicans, Democrats, agreed that we needed to do something about that. I worked very closely with my colleagues on the board, and we were able to work with developers to get the investment that was needed to completely redo that area in a quality product, which was now the block at Northway. Mm-hmm. And that's an example of we knew what the outcome we needed was. And we didn't spend all our time arguing about whether or not we wanted it painted white or yellow or brown, but we focused on the big picture and we worked back from there. And we also had to compromise on some things so that, you know, not all of us got exactly what we wanted, but we were able to achieve a good goal and make something better for our community. And we need to do the same thing in the General Assembly. Mm-hmm. We need to work together. There will be legitimate differences, but we need to work together to make our state safer, to balance our budget, to lower our taxes, to have the best roads and bridges in the country so that people aren't worried about driving over a bridge and it falling down like Fern Hollow Bridge did, and safe communities and good schools. And these are things that are readily achievable. We can look at some of the best practices that are occurring in other states and try to use those and improve those for our own.
Yeah, and you brought something up here. I think you mentioned that that nobody got exactly what they wanted. Mm-hmm. You had a compromise, right? What has happened, Jeremy, so much in politics where it's, you know, folks are focused on what it is that they want and not what the people want. Mm-hmm. Because when you're there, you're really a representative of the people, and what's best for the people that you've been elected to represent should be the driving force or factor behind what folks are doing. And man, I just don't see that occurring enough out there today.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I always felt an enormous amount of trust that was put into me by the people that I represented as a commissioner. And I feel already that if assuming I win this position in the state legislature, that there'd be an enormous amount of trust and a duty for me to put the interests of the people over any self-interest that I might have. And part of that duty is to seek their input, to understand what they want, and try to take my own background and decision-making ability to try to make that happen as I mm-hmm. represent them within the General Assembly. And there's 203 people in the Pennsylvania General Assembly. It's one of the largest, most expensive legislatures in the country. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole nother issue.
Right.
I'm in favor of term limits and downsizing it, but we'll put that to the side. But I still need to work. I like to point out that, once again, as an engineer, I like to think of things on two fronts. One, I want to fix the system. So I think we have some systemic flaws that need to be fixed. Yet at the same time, it's going to take a while to fix a broken system. And I need to be able to try to deliver and operate within an imperfect system to deliver results back to the people of my communities. So it's not an either or, but a both and that you need to do and deliver and, you know, try to advance the solution a little bit more and then hand the baton off to whoever might come after you and hopefully that they can advance it that much more. more as well.
Well, no, that sounds good. Sounds like that's a way to make this thing work. And, you know, I think that you have the background and the experience of having worked, you know, across the aisle in the past, which is a key indicator of your ability and willingness to do so in the future. And that should bode well for anyone in your district potentially concerned mm-hmm. about how you would do that. So I think that's a testament to you and another feather in the cap, so to speak, another reason why people should vote for you mm-hmm. because you've actually demonstrated and proven this. I know when I was in the position, when I was in business and I used to hire mm-hmm. people, you know, we used to use a process or a system we called behavioral interviewing mm-hmm. where we would talk to folks and we would try to understand when in their past experiences they've actually done something that we yeah. viewed as a necessary skill in order to perform the job that we were hiring for. Because, you know, past experiences can predict in many cases where folks are able to replicate that, you know, and in the new role. So the fact that you've been able to do this and you've done it with a smile on your face, you know, earnestly working across the aisle to achieve objectives on behalf of the people says a lot about you and your character. And that's one of the reasons we're glad you're running and look forward to your service here should you be elected in November. Now, and we were talking about issues before. And, you know, again, I can't get away from it. Every district is different. But I think the overarching issues, you know, here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, one, inflation. Your gas prices are up over 48%. You know, grocery prices are up almost 30%. Energy prices are up 30%. Wages are not keeping pace with inflation. You know, inflation is up over 20%, or say 19.3%, and wages were only up like 16.3%. They're not keeping pace. We have folks are concerned about their jobs. With the invasion we have at the southern border, over 10.5 million people have come across this border. It's hurting us a number of ways. One, we strengthen the cartels. So the cartels are making a tremendous amount of money doing this. They're smuggling people, and they're also bringing in drugs. And those drugs are killing in excess of 5,000 Pennsylvanians every single year. Other factors that are in play, these people that are coming across this border looking for jobs are serving to suppress wages or wage growth in this country, which is always something that's been a mystery to me. Why do so many of our unions, you know, who say that they're for taking and representing their members and always trying to do the best for their members, why do they support Democrats who support open border policies? Because those policies lead, you know, to suppressed wages for their workers, because many of these people coming across the border will take whatever job they can get at lower prices or lower wages, okay? So we have crime. I don't think a day goes by where we don't see in the news, you know, some terrible story about, you know, one of our wives, daughters, you know, being raped or murdered by someone here in this country illegally. And, you know, folks on the other side will say, well, that's just a fraction or a small fraction. And I believe one is too many mm-hmm. when it happens, you know, in a case where the person that commits these terrible crimes shouldn't be here in the first place. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we talk about it, the economy, jobs, crime, all these things. I think these are the things that are front and center, mm-hmm. you know, with our constituents. And I think one of the other things that's not talked about enough is what I believe is the defining civil rights issue of our time, and that's school choice. Mm-hmm. You know, we spend an incredible amount of money in the city of Pittsburgh. When you divide their budget of over $680 million a year by the number of enlisted or enrolled students, basically about 18,300, mm-hmm. you're spending almost $35,000, you know, a student, but yet they're not proficient in reading or math. So, but they don't have a choice unless their family has the money to pay for them to go somewhere else, right? I mean, this is insane.
We do have school choice in Allegheny County, and people, the school choice that people have right now is to move. Right. And the reason that my own family moved from the city of Pittsburgh into Ross Township and then to Pine Township was because of the schools, right? And that story can be multiplied by tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, which is why the city, which used to be, what, 75% of the population of Allegheny County, now is, I think, mm-hmm. less than 25% of the population of Allegheny County. People start off, oftentimes jobs in the universities, downtown. They enjoy the amenities in the city, but then when they start having a family, they start being concerned about school options, about safety options. And then they look very closely and they see communities like the great communities that are in the 28th district, that safe, good schools, and they had those that are able vote with their feet and they move. And that's, that is, I think, evidence that we need to provide. It's a tragedy what is going on in some of these schools in which, as you stated, over $30,000 is being spent per student. And there are entire grade levels in certain schools in the city of Pittsburgh and Wilkinsburg in which not a single student is able to be proficient or above passing scores on state tests. And it's just like the outcome, you know, thinking about it from a business perspective, it's like anyone just looking at the numbers would say, this is insanity. This is insane. This is a crime against the kids that are there. And then, yeah, and then you mentioned the issue of inflation earlier. Wow, you should see, you know, I've got five kids with a family of seven. When I go to the grocery store, you better believe it is stunning. If you want to see my grocery bill, it's several hundred dollars.
Give us an example. Yeah. You know, tell the folks, you know, how much it costs to feed a family of seven.
Oh, well, when I go to the store, if I'm going to Giant Eagle, I would routinely pay about $400 to $500 for the groceries that
I
need.
That's weekly, right?
Yeah, weekly. And, you know, we go to Aldi's a lot too. And, you know, there's a good Shop and Save, and you look at where, you try to be smart about it. You look at where there are deals going on, coupons that are going on. You know, people drive, go to Costco, try to get things in bulk or these other warehouse stores. So, you know, and I talk to people. People are suffering. It is a real stretch, and people are having to make very, very difficult choices. It breaks my heart when I talked to a person the other day trying to decide for their kids whether they have enough money to put their kids into youth baseball, because like how much is that going to cost with registration, with shoes, with, you know, the equipment, even though it's not that much, you know, that it's needed. And when you're looking at rising costs with everything from groceries to car insurance to home, you know, everything that adds up, the utilities are going up. It takes away from the ability to have your quality of life that you want. And just to have it's so sad. A parent who could probably not able to have their kids do all of the youth sports because of the cost of youth sports. And so that is really affecting things. And the current situation that we have that helps fuel that inflation, it needs to end.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things, hopefully, when you're there, if I could ask you, is I think we need to shed light more on education funding. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Democrats have been running around, you know, seizing upon a Commonwealth Court ruling last year saying that we needed to change the funding formula for districts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Democrats in Harrisburg, along with the Governor Shapiro, they put over $1 billion more for education into this budget. But my experience in the past, Jeremy, has been that many of these, every year, it's an historic increase in funding for education, but yet this money never seems to reach the classroom.
Yeah.
It ends up going to teacher pensions, salaries for school districts to hire administrators. You know, our Auditor General, Tim DeFore, did a report. I encourage folks to look for it through Google, okay? But Tim DeFore, our Pennsylvania's Auditor General, did a report to show that there are school districts here in Pennsylvania that shift money around to sort of hide it and make it look like they need more money. Well, they're sitting on significant reserve funds just as a way to be able to justify an increase in taxes and things of that nature. And, you know, I'd love to see you working to shed light on that at the state level, because, again, if this is all about educating our kids, if we're spending $30,000 plus on a student and they're not proficient, okay, something's broken here. Right? They should have the ability to make a change. And Democrats here just voted down. You know, we were just trying to allow kids in the like bottom 10 or 15% of school districts an opportunity to for vouchers. And Democrats wouldn't support it. It shows how wedded they are to the teachers union.
Yeah, it's so sad to me to see the situation that's there. And it is not for a lack of resources. The example I like to use is like if you have a big bowl and you've drilled a bunch of holes in it. There's a bunch of holes in it, and our solution to maintain a water level in there is just to keep pouring more water in. We need to fix the holes.
Right.
We need to fix the holes. You know, my district, 28th district, is blessed with some of the best schools in the district. And we have no schools that would qualify as under 10%. We've got North Allegheny, Pine Richland, Hampton, Deer Lakes, all school districts that people want to go to. But I mean, that doesn't mean those school districts are perfect and not perfect for all kids. And we need to empower parents to be able to make the choices that deliver the best results for their individual kids. And the other thing I'll stress here too is you know, education, I view, is it goes all the way from preschool up into post-secondary education, whether that's trade school. And we also have the Betty Institute there, a lot of good trade schools. There's community colleges, there's four-year schools that throughout our state. And one challenge that a lot of people in my district face is that Pennsylvania has, I think, either the most expensive in-state tuition or the second most in-state tuition of any state in the country. And so it is actually cheaper to, in some situations, send your kids and pay out-of-state tuition, especially in some of these southern schools, than it is to pay in-state tuition in Pennsylvania. And if we are able to, you know, fix and make more efficient some of the problems that we have in city schools, like City of Philadelphia, City of Pittsburgh, which, as you mentioned, so much of this $1 billion of new funds is just going to get dumped into City of Philadelphia with little to no accountability there. But we could potentially help lower the cost of even post-secondary education, open up more trade school programs, so that the ultimate goal in education is so that we can produce young people who are able to provide for themselves, for their families, that are able to think for themselves, that are able to make smart decisions, be functioning members in society. You know, that's the goal that we want, and that's the goal that we should work backwards from, as I was talking about earlier, into how we achieve that. There may be some things that I would like to see done that, you know, other people wouldn't, but we could make a compromise so that we could at least move this system somewhat forward. And just right now, all we're doing is we just keep putting Band-Aids on a pretty big cut, and we're not actually fixing the wound itself.
I couldn't agree more. And you talked about the school districts, you know, in your district, mm-hmm. okay? And they are some of the top school districts in the country, in the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. But none of them spend on a per student basis what they spend like in the city schools.
No, so our school
see,
districts
not,
spend like
it's
half
not
as
about
much.
Money. Exactly.
Yeah, our school districts are about half as much as what the city spends, and we get results that are multiples better than some of these. And so, but the funding formula actually rewards poor performance, and you're penalized for good performance in so many ways. And so it needs to change. It needs to change.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely. So folks, there's a lot of things. And folks, we're talking here with Jeremy Schaefer, candidate for the State House in Pennsylvania's 28th Legislative District. And Jeremy, if anybody that was listening to this said, hey, I want to help Jeremy, yep. okay, how would they go about signing up to volunteer or to donate to your campaign?
So the easiest way is to go to our website, and the website is just voteschaefer.com. And so that's just www.voteschaefer.com. And you can go on there, you can donate on there, you can be able to sign up for our volunteer list and our email list. And we are always looking for help. And there's something for everyone, for going out and putting things on doors, to helping stuff envelopes, to putting signs together, to making phone calls. Literally, there's something for my kids. I've had my kids who are with, 5 years old, 8 years old. They have things. You'll see them with little stamps and put them together. And then after they spend an hour or two doing that, I'll take them out to Rita's and get them a little treat. And so they're used to like, when can we help with something? So there's all sorts of things for people to do. And it really takes the whole, I'm the tip of the spear as a candidate, I guess, but it mm-hmm. takes the rest of the spear and the shaft to really get us forward to success on election day.
So, because I care so much, I'm going to ask you, repeat that one more time.
Yep.
Where do they go to help you?
Yeah, it's just www.voteschaefer.com.
And folks, for those folks who are looking to help Jeremy, please go there and help him. He can certainly use it, because we can't allow anything to go to chance here. Yes, we're confident, but we need to take and you need to follow through, because we talked about anything can happen. You see what Democrats are doing, okay, in the presidential race. Who knows what could take place here? We need to take and make sure we get everybody out to vote. We need no stone unturned, that we take and try to make voter contact with these folks who we would consider low propensity Republican voters, and make sure they weigh in, so that we can ensure that we try to save, this Commonwealth and this country. So I encourage everyone to sign up and help Jeremy. If you want to sign up to help any of our other candidates you know, or, you know, President Trump, Dave McCormick, you're able to go to their websites, or you're able to go to our website, which is www.allegheny.gop. That's www.allegheny.gop, where you can sign up to volunteer or to donate to the Republican Committee of Allegheny County. We certainly could use your help as well. Again, folks, you know, you've heard this before. Many politicians have said this is the most important election of our lifetimes. But really, if you look at what's happening, look at what's happening in this country. Look at what's happening just, you know, the other day, Wednesday, in Washington, D.C. You know, you have an address by Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, okay? The only democracy in the Middle East. And you know, 100 or more of the Democrat elected officials chose not to show up and boycott it. You know, they're protesters. They weren't Republicans out there tearing down and burning American flags at Union Station, running up Palestinian flags. They were assaulting park police officers. Folks, you know, we've never been at this point before. This really is an incredibly important election. We need to make sure that we get out if we want to save, you know, this Commonwealth and this country. But it all starts where you live. It starts in your neighborhood, starts in your precinct, it starts in your district. You know, you make a difference for the folks in the 28th district. You make a difference by voting for Jeremy Schaefer. You make a difference by voting for Rob McCurry. You make a difference by voting for Dave McCormick. And you make a difference, you make a difference by voting for Devlin Robinson, and for state senator. And you make a difference by voting for Dave McCormick and for Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. That's what you can do. And I don't believe that's too much to ask when you have so many of us that are out there donating treasure, time, you know, blood, sweat, and tears, you know, knocking on doors, sending text messages, making phone calls, you know, setting up for rallies and events, everything we possibly can to make a difference. So please get out, get involved, and get active.
And Sam, I'll just add, amplify that some more. I have friends all over the country. I have some friends live in California, friends who live in West Virginia. You know what? Not that it's any less important to vote in other places, but the reality is that, especially like in the presidential race and for a Senate race, for a governor race, in those states, it's, if you're in California, it's the chance, it's 99% chance that the Democrats are going to sweep all those types of races. In West Virginia, it's 99% chance it'll be the Republicans that sweep those races. There are legitimately probably, you know, 5, 6, 7 maybe states that will decide who the next president of the United States is, who will control the United States Senate. There's probably only about 20, 25 out of 435 U.S. House districts that are really, truly deciding who will control Congress. And we are so fortunate. In the 28th district, you rattled them all off. And part of the district's in Devlin Robinson State Senate District, which is control of the state Senate. So the voter, if you live in Marshall Township, you will literally, your vote determines the control of the state House, the state Senate, the U.S. Congress, the U.S. Senate, and President of the United States. There are very, very, very few other people in this country that have that influence. So we have enormous amount of influence here in Allegheny County. And so not voting is, you have to vote. Your vote counts almost 100 times more than some of these people in one party states.
Folks, you heard it there from Jeremy Schaefer. And as always, when we get started talking, man, it's just, we just seem to run out of time. Until next week, this is Sam DeMarco, your host on The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Look forward to talking to you next week. I'm certain there's going to be a lot of exciting things happening in the interim. Until then, have a great weekend.